mindset. It's about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's Mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Early on in stages of my development, I identified components which make an athlete complete and identified under the S factor: skill, speed, strength, stamina, suppleness, and strategy. So it's skill, speed, strength, stamina, suppleness, and strategy. And removing a component from this whole equation is like removing a small component away from the transistor radio. It will simply cease to work, no matter how small or relevant it is. So I started looking at more of a holistic approach to the whole training. 20 years ago was my first role in a movie alongside Scott Adkins. In Black Mask 2, that was in Thailand. And shortly after, I transcended to train up people on film sets. So every film set I was on, I was training up people. So shortly, I was training people like Tom Hardy, Scott Adkins, Sarah Carter, Matthew Marsden, Dan Stevens. And lots of these programs were very, very brutal because results were essentially very important to be acquired in a very short space of time. But this kind of training, because it's so brutal, it's not really sustainable long term. So the program that I give to people nowadays is something that can sustain long term, incorporate into their lifestyles. Because let's be honest, and I notice myself, as we all age, our level of energy, desire, and drive tends to decline. And I want to be chasing my dreams for the rest of my life. So I want to have heightened energy, heightened passion, and drive. So always striving to enhance my health and maintain very good health. And I deviate from my ways from time to time, and I do go through my slumps, and I notice a huge difference in my productivity as well as my enthusiasm when I'm healthy, when I'm going through these great periods and bursts of healthy living. And one thing I've realized over time is healthy lifestyle choices, which are sustainable long-term, is what is essential to really make us more productive and help us meet the goals, our fitness goals, as well as our personal goals within our life. And the most important components are the challenges. So we must challenge ourselves. So what is a challenge? Challenge is something out of our comfort zone. And the issue is most of us don't like stepping out of comfort zone. That's why I always suggest, when you make those changes, don't try to make too many changes all at once, because we may be able to sustain those changes for 2 or 3 weeks, but being creatures of habit, we'll go back to the old ways. So you're better off to make small changes one at a time instead of to make all changes all at once. Because once we stumble across obstacles and issues and problems and doubts, we tend to go back to our old habits and old ways. That's why, although my program is a 90-day program, I would like to encourage and inspire people to make it an ongoing thing, to become a lifestyle choice as opposed to a project. I'm just getting ready for a wedding or a photo shoot or a show. Then the day after the show, I'm going to bloat like a Michelin man. You don't want to be doing that. So as I was saying, the program is a holistic approach in the sense, as you mentioned in the beginning, mind, body, and spirit. If you go to a martial arts school, if a student goes to a martial arts school, a good martial arts teacher will endeavor to strengthen his student's character as much as he will endeavor to strengthen his body and also give him his skills. And also start this program, and also on an ongoing basis, giving people tools how to overcome these obstacles and challenges, because the challenges are not just physical. They're often very emotional, because we go through emotional roller coaster when we make lots of fundamental changes to our lifestyle, our diet, our activities, et cetera, et cetera. So giving you the tools to overcome those challenges. Okay, so before we skip onto the program, and the program is 90 days long, increments of 3 weeks. So there are four different levels. Why 3 weeks? It takes roughly 3 weeks for human body to adapt to any stimulus or change. Now, why does body adapt? If we challenge our body beyond what it's capable of, it will adapt to the appropriate stimulus that we've given the body, considering that we are starting from a healthy state of being. So before we start this journey, we need to identify where we currently stand, where we want to get to, and then map out the journey strategically and carefully, which we do within the program to make sure that you succeed. But before we start the journey, I always do this with all my clients, is let me ask you a question. Why do you want to make changes? Why do you want to engage into a journey to make changes to your lifestyle or to your life? The reason I'm asking this question is because the bigger the why, the easier will be the how. And this is fundamentally important question to ask, because once we stumble across obstacles and challenges, we will start to question this why. And this is when our doubts start to kick in. We start to question it, and most people quit. And this is why over 80% of people tend to quit come second week of February with New Year's resolutions, because we do come across challenges and obstacles and then find it very difficult. So I find it crucially important to identify where we're going, make that why really, really big to make the journey so much easier. So the vision is increasingly pulling us towards achieving those goals. So focusing on the why and setting the goals. Setting the goals is crucially important, because failing to prepare, we're preparing to fail. So our goals should be smart, specific and simple, measurable, achievable, realistic and relevant, and time specific, SMART. So they have to be specific goals. What do you want to achieve? You want to achieve what? You want to lose 2 stone? You want to get really fit? You want to get a lot more energy? You want to fit into your different dress size or different jeans? You want to look great? You want to look heroic for the next film role? Now that why becomes big. So be specific with your goals. Be specific exactly what you want and make them measurable. Will you class as a measurable way to see if you're achieving your goals? It could be the weight, could be percentage of your body weight, could be a visual, could be your dress size or your shirt size, whatever. And your goals should be achievable. If you set yourself goals which are too high and you find you're struggling to make those increments and steps towards the goal, you will shortly be very discouraged and lose motivation and probably quit. So make those goals achievable and realistic and relevant to bring value to your life. If a doctor said to you, you've got to lose some weight, if you don't lose weight, you will face some serious health issues, then your reason becomes bigger. That why becomes bigger. So find the why within your lifestyle. Why do I need to make these changes to my lifestyle? Why do I want to feel more energized and healthier and with greater vitality within my life? So identify your goals before you go forth. Some of the things to remember, and this is the second question I like to ask all of my clients, is you've got two subjects. You've got a 20-year-old male and 20-year-old male and 70-year-old male. Both are in good state of health for their age and no underlying medical issues. If we put them on the identical diet and identical training program, which one of the two do you think is going to reap better results in terms of their health benefits? Well, the answer most people would give is probably a 20-year-old. So the question is, why would a 20-year-old reap the benefits more? Purely to do with hormones, because the 20-year-old will have more balanced hormones within the body itself. So having this understanding, we need to devise our lifestyle, that's our diet as well as our training activities, to optimize on the hormones that our body is secreting. So therefore, we need to create some kind of balance, because as we get older, we expose ourselves to pollution and toxins and pesticides and colorings and flavorings, preservatives in all the processed foods that we get in the supermarkets. So naturally, because we expose ourselves to these pollutants and toxins, over time, our bodies don't become so efficient at secreting these hormones. So therefore, we need to carefully consider what we put in our mouth and devise a lifestyle so we optimize on these hormones, the growth hormone, testosterone, estrogen, insulin, and cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And when cortisol kicks in, we can have all sorts of side effects and related problems and issues within our health. So if we can keep those hormones in balance and under control, we can truly optimize the benefits from our exercise. Because if we undergo too much stress, probably don't get enough sleep, we can undergo any training regime or any diets, our body's not going to nudge. So when we stimulate our body to adapt and change, ultimately our body should be in the best possible health to adapt. Like water. Water will change shape, color, smell, taste according to the environment that it's in. So if our body's in a healthy state, it will adapt, it will change. This is the evolving mechanism of our body. Now, obviously, dietary requirements and consideration are something which we need to take into account seriously in order to progress and enhance our health. The second one is our physical activities and exercise. And I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours of exercise, merely 20 to 30 minutes, three times a week of high intensity exercise can have fundamental impact on our hormones. When we are going through our teens and our early 20s, our body's secreting lots of growth hormone and testosterone. We're feeling full of vitality and energy, and we're feeling alive. We're very enthusiastic, full of drive. But as we age, our hormones decline drastically, some 20% every 10 years. So by the time we get to our 40s and 50s, we feel the difference in our energy levels, our ability to focus, all those things. But we can correct lots of these things with correct diet and the right type of exercise. And once again, I'm saying merely 20 to 30 minutes three times a week. And that's what I have been doing myself for the last 11 weeks. I said to myself, before we launch this program, I'm going to put myself on an identical thing that I'm preaching to my clients. So what I mentioned is the exercises that we do within our program have been specifically designed to have highest impact on the hormones that our body secretes. And one of them is growth hormone and increase our EPOC. And EPOC stands for excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, which means when we do the exercise, we should do the exercise which should stimulate our body to expand more fuel for the following 48 to 72 hours. So 2 to 3 days post-workout, our body's consuming a lot more energy because of the nature of the exercise. Okay, so the hormones which I mentioned, which we can clearly have control over, are growth hormone, testosterone, estrogen, cortisol, which can fundamentally impact on our moods, our body composition, our overall well-being, as well as our health. Okay, so before we proceed with the actual program itself and exercises, I have a section which I named after most of you can relate to. It's called Empty Your Cup. Empty Your Cup. The reason I call it Empty Your Cup, and most of you guys I'm sure are familiar with the story, and I'm going to read it to you actually. On this particular day, a scholar came to visit the master for advice. "I have come to ask you to teach me about Zen," the scholar said. Soon it became obvious that the scholar was full of his own opinions and knowledge. So he interrupted the master repetitively with his own stories and failed to listen to what the master had to say. The master calmly suggested they should have tea. So the master poured his guest a cup. The cup was filled, yet he kept pouring until the cup overflowed onto the table and the floor and finally onto the scholar's robes. The scholar cried, "Stop! The cup is full already. Can you not see?" "Exactly," the Zen master replied with a smile. "You are like the cup, so full of ideas that nothing more can fit in. Come back to me with an empty cup." I'm sure you guys have heard the story. And it's very, very inspiring in the sense that I say to people, when you come to me, please empty your cup of all the ideals and philosophies and concepts and conceptions you've had before to create room for new ideas. And the reason I say this is, much of the fitness industry and bodybuilding industry or bodybuilding myths have been passed down from generation to generation and followed very blindly without much questioning, debate, or evolution or progression. So for this reason, I say to people, empty your cup with some of the old myths and misinformation. Myth number one, bodybuilders are accustomed to training muscle groups in isolation. Now, if you look at human body works, all of the movements that we perform are sequential movements, and your body performs as one unit. When we train in isolation on machines, we are cutting out the stabilizers. Our joints, tendons, ligaments get cut out. We're specifically focused on one muscle group. But in reality, our body never works as an individual muscle group. Our body works as a unit. So therefore, we have much more of a benefit of training standing upright. And this is the difference within the program which I'm launching. All of the exercises are functional exercises. Therefore, exercises are designed to improve function of the body, whether it's for a specific sport to enhance a punch, kick, throw, or for simple everyday activities. Fundamentally, human body is only really capable of three movements, pushing, pulling, and squatting. Although nowadays we've got hundreds of different machines which are swearing, promoting, they're going to do this, that, and the other. End of the day, you cannot reinvent a wheel. Your body can only move in so many ways. Myth number two, bodybuilders usually follow very low calorie, low carbohydrate diets, which does work short term, but it's not sustainable long term because it also slows down your metabolism. So our diet should be sustainable and be able to incorporate into our lifestyle so we can still enjoy our lives and be full of energy and vitality. Last but not least, bodybuilders usually perform very slow, long intensity cardiovascular workouts on a daily basis. These kind of workouts slow down your metabolism long term because your body becomes efficient at performing a particular activity. So over long term, your body becomes more efficient performing that particular exercise. So high intensity interval training is far more beneficial, and there is tons and tons of research which suggests that high intensity exercises not only stimulate your body to secrete your hormones at much, much larger level, but also a lot more beneficial on so many other levels. But next point is elimination. Now, elimination, what should we eliminate from our diets? Before I introduce the concepts of new things and new habits to incorporate, I would like to eliminate some of the old and bad habits because as humans, we're creatures of habit. We buy the same foods from the same grocery store and prepare the same recipes over and over again. So incorporating new habits is very difficult. Something I mentioned earlier on is I strongly suggest to people to make small incremental changes bit by bit, one change at a week, because there will be lots more sustainable long-term. Initially, I think when we engage in any new programs, we can incorporate 5-6 different changes all at the same time. But when we come across, and we do come across the stumbling block, challenges and obstacles, when we're struggling, that's when we start to lose this motivation. That's when we start to lose this drive. So it's crucially important to try and incorporate these new habits gradually, slowly, bit by bit. So I suggest doing one small habit, one at a time. And if there was one particular thing I would say you have to ditch straight away, number one on the list, that's sugar. Sugar is number one public enemy. And I'm talking about white processed sugar, table sugar, which is found in lots of products nowadays, because it will cause absolute havoc within your body as well as your insulin. And it will certainly decrease your ability for your body to adapt to these training changes that we have within the program itself. So sugar is number one that you have to ditch. And it's one of those things which is probably the hardest, because sugar is highly, highly addictive. And it will take a good few weeks for us to be able to ditch this bad old habit. So you may struggle first few weeks, but as you lose your taste for the sugar itself, you will eventually find it a lot easier. Okay, guys, do you have any questions whatsoever at this stage regarding the program or diets or any of the lifestyle things I've mentioned?
Can you guys hear me? I can hear you.
All right. So I've been working with, well, I've known Silvio for quite a while, and I just want to kind of say this. He's got this amazing knowledge of nutrition, right? So besides being in the movies and training all these different actors so that they actually look like action stars and that they can actually survive, you know, all the craziness that they got to do on the set, he's got this incredible knowledge of nutrition. So what, something happened maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were having a discussion, and he mentioned sugar to me, for example. He said, you know what, sugar is bad, you know? So I started thinking about that, and like, wow. I started thinking about how much sugar do I actually consume? How much sugar do I give my kids, right? So I started looking around the house, and I noticed that everything we've got, when I read the ingredients, there's like a ton of sugar in everything. I mean, there was some stuff that sugar didn't belong in. It had no business, but it was there, right? So anyway, I started to really take that into consideration because, look, we got to deal with diabetes. You got to deal with, just weight gain, feeling tired, exhaustion, all these different things. Some people link sugar to cancer, right? So I started to try to just cut down on sugar. So I did. So cutting down on the sugar like I used to long, long time ago. And, I found my body just kind of changing a lot. You know, my wife says definitely some good changes, right? So she saw like just little things, my stomach, my overall fitness level. And it's just an incredible thing. So simple little things that you can learn, you know, from someone can be life-changing, right? You can actually save your life, right? So besides looking good, being fit and ready to do an action film or whatever, and you know, Silvio, you've trained many actors. It'd be great if you can kind of even share some of those stories about some of the people that you trained and some of the things that they went through. You know, you don't have to name names, but if you can kind of share that too, that'd be great.
Fundamentally, there are three macronutrients, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And carbohydrates is where we derive our energy from. But ultimately, all carbohydrates get broken down into sugars. So sugar is the end product. Now, carbohydrates, which get broken down very slowly, are much better for us as humans. So this is stuff like sweet potato would get broken down very slowly. So it takes a very long time to break down and release this energy. So you would get sustained release of energy throughout the day. With simple sugars, they get into your system very quickly. They get broken down and they get sudden release of insulin. So this is like comparing sweet potato would be a log, which is burning very slowly over hours and hours. And sugar is like a straw, which burns instantly and quickly, gives you instant energy, then you get a load. So it's the sugars that cause havoc within your system and your hormones, which is why we should stay away from sugar.
Well, I was saying too, though, that, you know, you worked with a lot of actors. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you very well, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I know you worked with different actors, and I was saying you don't have to name names, but could you kind of give us an idea of some of the issues that they had to face when they were trying to train and they had to hurry up because, you know, a movie role was on the line basically, or, you know, schedule?
Well, most of these guys, as you said, had very short period of time to transform themselves drastically, physically, the way they look. So we had to take drastic measures within their diet as well as training. So it was very much physically demanding. Very much physically demanding. But as I mentioned earlier on, they had a very big reason for it. So the why was big. That's why I guess the journey had to be done because it was only short term. But like I said, it's not something you can sustain long term because some of these journeys are too short, too harsh, but very effective.
And can you, I don't want to dominate the conversation, but can you think of any, would you say that some of the actors after they trained with, that they continued to, just follow through on those kind of new habits that you helped them to create?
Oh, my friend Scott Adkins, he certainly has. We trained for a long, long time, especially before Undisputed 2. He followed it up afterwards. He did not maintain the same physique that he had in the film itself because he bulked up with quite a bit of muscle tissue for it.
But his incredible training. Yeah.
For sure, his physical training, he maintained it throughout.
Hmm.
But, you know, most of these guys, when you're on film set, you're traveling. Obviously, you've been taken away from your daily routines that you might have when you're at home. So finding a new gym may not always be the issue. But one thing that's always encouraged is maintain good, healthy, clean diets all the way through, wherever you're traveling, when you're on the go, even if you don't get opportunity to train. Because when you maintain yourself on these healthy diets, you'll be able to sustain most of the gains that you've got from the workouts you've had. Once you let go of your diet, and two go hand in hand really well, your exercise regime and your diet. When your diet's nice and clean, you get motivated to train hard as well. So it's crucially important to be on the right track with both. But it doesn't have to be tedious. It's not one of those things that has to be tedious. And this is why I said, don't think of it as a project. It doesn't have a start and a finish time. Health and fitness should be something which can be incorporated long-term for 15, 20, 30 years. And I think I've been doing this for 33 years, staying healthy. I don't find it a struggle. It's my lifestyle. It's a habit. And I feel full of energy. I feel full of drive. I feel full of enthusiasm because of the lifestyle that I follow, for sure. So it's not a chore. It's not a chore by any means.
Mr. Silva, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
So I heard you talk about, especially when you're talking about sugar, how addictive that it is, which I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that we should ditch it, that you need to get rid of it. Another thing I agree with. But combining those two things together, especially the addictive part of it, would it be, do you think it'd be easier, and would you have suggestions on what to replace it with rather than just ditch it because we have it?
Very good, very good. Ditching something, I think, creates a void, and that's why replacing an old habit with a new one is always most effective, for sure. For sure, replacing old habits with new habits is always much easier. I use a supplement called L-glutamine. L-glutamine, it's a naturally occurring protein. It's the most abundant amino acid in the protein itself. And it does take away the sugar cravings. It really works probably better than anything else I've tried. But over time, I have developed my own protein cakes. I make protein cakes with berries, and I put half a banana in it. So this replaces my sugar cravings, and I don't feel the need for sugar at all.
Thank you, sir.
It's called L-glutamine. L-glutamine. It's flavorless. It's the most abundant amino acid in your system. If you look it up, it's very, very good for curbing sugar cravings. But like you said, it's not easy. It's a very difficult task. Sugar is clearly an addiction. It makes you feel good. And when you have the first taste of the chocolate, it's like heaven. And it takes a good few weeks just to lose that flavor of the sugar. I struggle with it. Come Christmas, I let go of my strict habits, and I indulge into sweet things. And it will take me a few weeks to get back on track, because as we all know, sugar is highly addictive. So I tend to just stay away from it.
Sir, Mr. Sylvia, this is Steve Wilkes. Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I had a question related to diet and social pressures. Most of us in this are adults, we've kind of learned how to curb that conversation. You know, if I'm hanging out with my friends and they say, hey, you know, pass so-and-so, I'm very comfortable in saying, no, I'm good. I'm trying to cut back. I'm really trying to eat cleaner. And there's not a lot of pushback, except for my grandparents. So, when it comes to my peers, that's totally fine. We have one young person here. I was wondering if you could, because I guess everyone else is old. What advice can you give? Because we've learned as adults, I know a lot of us have learned to manage a lot of social pressures, which seems silly, but now that we're adults, but as children, it's everything. You know, as kids and as youth, you know, if you're not, out of a lack of a better term, part of the in crowd or part of, you know, what everybody else is doing, you know, why don't you have any candy during Halloween and so on and so forth? You know, there could be a kid right now who is really focused on starting early on a healthy lifestyle. I mean, I really didn't start till my 20s, but there's kids out there who want to do that, and they're going to be pulled into those social pressures. And so what advice would you give to, you know, say a young person who's dealing with those kind of challenges?
It's a very good question, actually. I started off experimenting with diets. It was maybe a bit crazy, irresponsible. As young as 12, I was experimenting with different diets. I was very conscious of my weight very early on. I mean, this was around the same time I took up martial arts. And I completely understand the peer pressures that kids can feel. The advice I'd probably give is just to surround yourself or surround themselves with like-minded people or bubble that's going to give them the support. Surround themselves with a bubble that will give them the support that they need. People who are like-minded or maybe who are in a similar situation as they are, because naturally it will be more difficult for kids who are not going through it to understand. They kind of say, well, why aren't you having this sweet? It's like, I don't get it. And it's understandable. At that age, they find it difficult to understand that someone has chosen a path to go healthy, to follow a healthy diet or healthy lifestyle. They might find it boring. I remember I was probably 18, 19, and someone said to me in college, have a drink. And I said, sorry, I don't drink. And one of the people said, oh, boring. And I took it a bit personal. You know, you did take it a bit personal. But back of my mind, I thought to myself, you don't understand my journey. You don't know what quest I'm on. You know, I'm on a different journey, and I've sworn to myself that I'm going to be following this very disciplined journey. So that was more important to me than the comments, although it can be bothering at times. But I think it's crucially important just to surround yourself in a group or a bubble of like-minded people that will give you support.
Hey, can I share this thought too, you know, to that question? When I started to cut down the sugar stuff, in my family, my kids wanted to help me. So they don't, you know, they stopped asking me to get cookies and stopped asking me to get all this crazy stuff because they said, Dad is cutting the sugar. We got to help, basically. So then I was, you know, so they helped, you know, that was really good. And so just overall, the entire family just been cutting down on that. So that's pretty cool. So that's my little, you know, my people helping me.
I have a question for you, sir.
Sure.
This is Henry Graves. Being an older man, I'm 63, and when I was younger, I mean, I always carried an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack. I'm very proud of that. And I did a lot of running, and I did a lot of calisthenics. I did a lot of kicking because I wanted to get better at kicking and punching. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I did the pull-ups and all that kind of stuff, but most of my thing was only martial art training, a jump rope, an easy curl bar, and that kind of thing. But now that I'm older, I'm 63, it seemed like, I don't know whether it's just father time or metabolism or bad eating habits. If you're going to try to drop 5 or 10 pounds at a time as an older guy, sugar is one thing, but, you know, the exercise is, like, I got something called the rack. You ever heard of it?
Yes.
I used that, and I was blown away by how fast things happened because there's more than one exercise you're doing. But as I started getting older, I started thinking about diet, and I'm not as disciplined as I was then. And I'm not want to get rid of the word discipline, but I want to get to the point of saying, what can an older gentleman do for that 10 or 20 minutes more functional to help him boost those things that, you know, naturally going to occur in our body? Should I be eating more beans or more taking in more some other supplement? That's all. If that's
something you said, very interesting. As we do get older, we find it a lot more difficult to shift weight and get our bodies to adapt and change. And this is something I said at the very beginning. As we get older, our hormones get out of balance. And sometimes you could be on an absolutely perfect diet, but you're finding it very difficult to shift any weight. So you could be doing the exercise, your body's not responding. So maybe you need to look into some of the hormones which might be causing it. If let's say if you're prone to putting a weight around the waist area, that tends to be a good indication that your body's probably releasing more cortisol, which is stress hormone. Now, stress doesn't have to be physical, could be emotional, could be induced if you're drinking too much coffee or having caffeine, or if you're not getting sufficient sleep, your body's releasing more cortisol. So this would be an instance where you'd be a lot more prone to putting weight on around the waist area. So it could be something just of an issue of sorting out your cortisol levels. So maybe getting more sleep, less coffee, inducing less stress just generally in your life. Another factor that could be you could be becoming insulin resilient. So you need to devise your diet so you're a bit more resilient, sensitive. And most diabetics will understand and know the reasons why insulin sensitivity is very important, because if you're insulin resilient, you're going to be a lot more prone to putting on weight and finding it very difficult to lose it. So trying to maintain stable blood sugar level throughout the day is what you should be opting out for. Not eating food which have got high glycemic index, which get broken down very quickly, because that causes havoc within your insulin level. So taking control of your blood sugar levels throughout the day. What I found personally very, very effective, and I would really strongly recommend to everyone to try it. I've been doing it for 16 years now. Intermittent fasting.
Okay.
Intermittent fasting. I have a window. It's normally 8 hours, but mine is for 6 hours. The window is 8 hours. During those 8 hours, you can consume your food. Same amount of calories. You don't deprive yourself of anything. Same amount of calories, just in a smaller window. Because when you're going through your fasting system, your body's repairing itself on a cellular level. When you're going through the fasting system, your body's releasing more growth hormone, which what we spoke about before, because insulin and growth hormone are in direct correlation. When your insulin goes up, your growth hormone levels go down. That's why when you wake up in the morning and post-workout, your growth hormone levels are highest. And growth hormone is responsible for repair of your tissue on a cellular level. And when we're in our teens, in our 20s, our body's full of growth hormone. That's why we're feeling full of life and vitality. So we can correct some of these things through some of the dietary measures, like the fasting. There are different types of fasting. Some people fast for a whole day or 2-3 days, 4 days. And I've heard some phenomenal stories. Just type it on YouTube, of people who have healed themselves of numerous diseases through extended periods of fasting. Because our body's breaking down on a cellular level and repairing itself during this fasting time. I couldn't personally endure for 2 or 3 days. So I do it on a daily basis. I have a window of 6 hours when I consume my food. And this way improves my insulin sensitivity as well as releases more growth hormones. So I benefit all in all from choosing this dietary lifestyle that I'm living.
Wow, you're very knowledgeable. I mean, I know... you know, in the Bible, they talk about fasting and how it's very beneficial. We talk about a spiritual level again.
For sure.
And you know, and thank you for you taking your time out. I see you're very knowledgeable, and I thank BAM again for bringing you on. You really answered my question all the way around, especially about the cortisol and maybe the coffee thing.
Sure, the stress.
It's just, maybe I don't even know I'm stressing. You know what I'm saying? You may not even know what kind of stressor it is, because I feel like everything is okay. But I do drink coffee, maybe more than I should, and I don't sleep. Maybe 4 hours, and that's it.
Whoa.
No, I'm serious. So, and that's been way for a little while now.
Wow. I guess your body, you get used to it, but it's not enough. You get used to it, but it's not enough. It's not enough. So maybe something you can address all in all to just doing a... bring your cortisol levels down, your overall sense of well-being, your energy levels, everything will change drastically.
Thank you so much.
You need to sleep. Very important for you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Please, I have an email here. If you, can you see it?
No, I don't have my bifocals, and I'm just so sorry. I'm really hard at that. Okay, wait a minute. It's SIMAC. At client, is that client?
That's it.
Yeah, simac@clientbydesign.com.
By BY?
Clientbydesign.com.
It's been added in the chat.
Thank you.
Please, if you send us an email, we'll send you some information, some insights on some of the stuff we've spoken about today. And I hope I've been some help. And if you've got any questions, feel free to ask some questions.
That was a lot. I mean, that personally touched me because, like I say, I'm a four-hour sleeper. If I go to bed at 12, I get up at 4. If I go at 1, I'll get up like 4:30 something. It really has been that way for years now. And I'm noticing in the middle, it's getting rounder. And I'm like, how come I can't lose? I mean, I'm doing everything I was doing before, but it's not.
Of course, your body's not nudging. Your body's not adapting, not changing because of the hormonal imbalances. So this is what's fundamentally important within our lifestyles, to make sure we make the lifestyle choices to keep these hormones balanced and under control.
That was perfect. Thank you.
Master Grace?
Yes, sir.
Tony Jones here. So just to let you know, that struggle is real. I have that struggle as well. I'm a retired military, 23 years.
Law enforcement, 27 years.
During that time, you know, when you're dealing with 14-hour days and I'm a retired pilot, so getting up early in the morning to do pre-flights and stuff like that, you do get used to, like, a lot less sleep.
Yeah.
And
sure.
If I'm newly retired, it's really tough to try to get back on a sleep schedule. So one of the things that I use to kind of help me with that is melatonin supplement.
What is it called?
Melatonin.
Bell, B-E-L-L-B-E-L?
Mike, melatonin.
Oh, melatonin.
Melatonin.
And that helps me to get asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and I feel a little better when I wake up. But it's not, another thing to realize is not an instant fix. You know, you have to kind of train yourself to get back into some type of circadian rhythm. So you set yourself a bedtime, even if you do wake up 4 hours later, continue to set that same bedtime and maybe use that supplement and get your body in the habit. Once again, it's about habit. Get your body in the habit of getting more sleep.
Okay.
Do you get good sleep now? Do you get good sleep now?
I get better sleep now. I still have a lot of things going on. I still work for a military command, so things do still shift around. But I do get better sleep. I still haven't gotten 8 hours for a good while. But I believe gone from like 4 to 6 hours or 6.5 hours.
That's the biggest problem with cortisol. Once the cortisol kicks in, your body's completely stubborn at responding to any stimulus or exercise or training regime at all.
Silvio, the people on this call, I get the feeling that these are some of the busiest people on planet Earth right here who really, really work super hard and very get little sleep. So my question would be, I know a long time ago I was drinking energy drinks and all this Red Bull and all these other crazy stuff. And I stopped because I realized it was unhealthy, actually. It wasn't helping me. And I didn't feel any energy from that. So in order to not burn the candle from both ends where you're like killing yourself, beating a dead horse, literally, what can you do to, have energy through the day, to, sustainable energy? Like if you're on a movie set or something like that, like you do, what do you do to have energy that's not damaging your body?
Well, I like to keep it very simple. People say to me, what food shall I have? What shall I not have? So just keep it very simple. If there should only be one ingredient in every food that you have, so it should be wholesome food. No additives, no colorings, no preservatives, no yeast, nothing additional to it, because these additional toxins, which will slow down our digestive system and have big impact on our hormones. So what was the rest of the question?
Well, like I'm saying, how do you sustain, what do you do to sustain your energy during the day, for example, when you're, long periods of time without destroying your body at the same time, like drinking caffeine and doing crazy stuff?
I do my little rituals, which I've developed over the years. I wake up in the morning, I have green matcha tea. Green tea is the first thing I have in the morning. Then I do have my coffee. Then 2 or 3 hours later, believe it or not, I have apple cider vinegar, 3 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, which is not the greatest of tasting things. But I break my fast at 2 p.m., so I consume no food whatsoever till 2 p.m. And let me tell you the benefit. And I'm sorry, guys, if you're probably thinking, oh, the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. My growth hormone levels are highest in the morning, so I want to optimize on my growth hormone levels for as long as I can. And as soon as you consume food, your insulin will spike. And this insulin spike will have impact on your growth hormone levels, which will decline straight away. So I tend to break my fast at 2 p.m. I consume food from 2 p.m. till 8 or 9 p.m. So that's my window when I'm consuming my food. And for that reason, and I'm sure for that reason, I feel full of energy throughout the whole day. The intermittent fasting has done an awful lot for me, but also the foods that I'm choosing, staying away from high glycemic index carbohydrates, choosing carbohydrates which will give me sustained release of energy. I tend to have good essential fatty acids. I like my nuts, omega-3, 6, 9. They give me energy throughout the day.
Silvio, I wanted to I know Mr. Gray.
Yes, sir.
I know one of the things when I went to China. In China, everybody takes a nap about in the middle of the day. The whole China shuts down. Since I came back from China, I take a power nap. And if you read anything on entrepreneurship, a lot of business people take power naps in the middle of the afternoon.
For sure.
I mean, Silvio, is that like a valuable thing that most people do to try to find that time to take a power nap to regain that energy? I was asking you that question, Mr. Silvio. How would you relate to that?
No, I do absolutely. I have such profession and I have opportunity to get power nap in the afternoons. And I think sometimes is the best time to do it, as long as you manage to get deep sleep. Deep sleep is what's vitally important because your body's rejuvenating itself on a cellular level when you get deep sleep. But something I picked up a long time ago is I listened to a meditational MP3 sounds, which work on specific brainwave frequencies. So these frequencies induce deep sleep. So if I'm having a power nap, I'll put it on, and I have my power nap for 45 minutes to an hour, and it seems to work.
And see, I like you, man, because when I wake up in the morning, that's what I do. I meditate, turn the sage, I write spiritual thoughts. I do the whole 9 yards. I mean, I just let it go. So, I mean, that's why what you're talking about just means it just registers so much because it gives you a chance to balance that whole core out. So
for sure. Yes,
sir. I'm going to make sure I send you everybody's email to Mr. Bailey so you can send them some information.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I've been listening. I tell you, I've enjoyed that group because I feel like I'm on the right track now. You know, I'm an ex-paratrooper. I used to teach the Special Forces and the Delta Force hand-to-hand combat. So I've been in combat, and I've jumped out of planes to say 150 exits from a perfectly good airplane. And when I got out of the military, before I went into the military, I was a kickboxer. And I did professional kickboxing. When I was over in Europe, I did professional Muay Thai where I had the European like heavyweight Muay Thai championship for 1 year. And then when I got out of the military and came back to the United States, I stayed in the military. And then I went to the battle, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, where over in Iraq, I stayed over there about eight months. Got out of the military in 92, and I went back to training again. But at this time, I was about 35, 45 years old. Even though training in the military, it was great. But then I went into what we call a slump. I didn't think my metabolism had quit like it did. It went down to just about zero in my book. So nothing had changed, but I retired from fighting. And then seems like I lessened my workout, and then I felt the pickup. During that time, I suffered from bladder cancer about 5-10 years after I got out of the military, I had to take the central surgery, and they gave me a steroid to take and build up the walls of my bladder again. And during that time and stuff, I felt another weight increase, but it was like more solid mass than fat, you know. And then it was hard for me to lose, and I'm still fighting that battle right now. So I see that cutting the weight of sugar, you know, taking the apple cider vinegar, and also changing when I eat can help me out, especially with the stress because of the PTSD that I suffer from, you know, now every once in a while. And I think that's a great combination of things to do to probably put me on the line that I want to go on.
Sure.
And I think, my buddy Henry said, 63 years old.
Cut the sugar. You honestly, cut the sugar from your diet. You're going to feel a big difference within yourself, how you're feeling, your thinking, everything. It's the hardest thing you'll probably do, the hardest, but you'll thank your future self for it.
Yeah. I sure appreciate that information.
So as we bring it to a close, we're going to close up with Master Silvio. But one of the things I want Mr. Messiah to close me out, because the whole purpose of all this is the next generation. We got a young man that's been sitting there for these whole three hours listening to you guys' knowledge. That young man, along with Messiah, these guys are the future. They're the ones that, I mean, I think one of the problems that we have in Hollywood, we have a lot of people who are so tuned into being a superstar, but they don't pass the torch to the next generation. So that bridge is broken.
Yeah.
I don't have that next person coming. That's the whole purpose of caller acts. I mean, look at that young man. He's been sitting there all this time, humbly not saying one word, along with Messiah. Mr. Messiah set up this whole operation. He's 14 years old. You know, so I know it's, what we do is important, but even Silvio, thinking about how do we create something that goes to those kids? How do we create something that can speak right to them, not from adults to the kids, but right to the kids, you know? So I think that's a nice little discussion we can have, because that's what Call to Action is really focused on, that next generation. So what I want to do, I want Mr. Messiah to close us out. Mr. Messiah. That's my little king right there, guys. He run the whole operation on the telephone and all that stuff. Mr. Messiah, how would you summarize this event as you close out?
I would summarize it as like a big opportunity for people to just like learn and grow. Even for the competitors that are about to compete tomorrow, like even if they don't like place or like get anything out of it, or like any like sort of like medal or trophy or something like that, they'll at least learn something, you know. They'll at least learn like what they can improve or what they have to work on when they go back home. And I think that's really important for people just in general, like everybody, because, you know, you can never stop improving yourself, and you can never like just stop learning and growing. So like that's just important to me. And I'm pretty sure it's important to everybody else, because like it's always important to keep growing.
So I have a question for you, because the word came up about discipline. How important is discipline for you today when you got homeschool, you got school, you got the business, you got everything? How do you talk to us about what is this new world that is for you right now? And we want that young man, Jaden, to speak too. Go ahead, Mr. Messiah.
Well, I know for home, for schooling, I know like it takes a lot of discipline to not like just, you know, like turn your camera off and go like play on your phone or something like that during the class, because like it's all just sitting right there. And even though I'm on the computer, it's easy to go onto a different tab and like play games or something else like on a computer while the teacher is talking and stuff and not pay attention. And it's harder to stay focused and be undistracted from all those things around you. And then from the business side of things, it takes a lot of discipline for more patience and discipline. Just waiting and just making sure everything goes right. Just waiting for the right time for everything to go right, if that makes sense.
Mr. Jaden, can you turn your mic on?
How you doing, nephew?
Hello.
Okay.
Give me a little takeaway. What's your takeaway? You had a lot of patience. We're like Mr. Messiah for almost 3 hours. Listen to us old men. Talk to us. What's your takeaway, young man?
Did you learn?
I learned a lot of stuff, like from all of the senseis. I'm really grateful to learn from all of them. Thank you for learning about all of them. I wish I could say thank you to all of them, but then they already left, though.
Well, thank you. Mr. Silvio, would you like to say anything in closing as we close out?
Thank you very much, guys, for logging on. And please keep your eye out for the program. And if you send us your email, we'll send you some information and certainly something I've spoken about today to just elaborate on some of the points I've said. God bless you all, and thank you.